What about baptism? Are you sick of yourself, your way, the world's way? Do you abhor what your life has been? Do you want to change? Are you changing? If your answers are yes, then there is something more you must do. By Clint C. Zimmerman. When finally you come to see just how far short you fall, how utterly unsuccessful and useless you are compared to Christ, it is time to take positive action. The beginning of repentance is seeing the self for what it really is. To determinedly begin constructive changes, to embark on growing in good character, is the natural consequence. Is this happening to you? If you grasp the fact that you really need to change and are in the process, you must seriously question what's next. God commands another step. That next step is baptism. Absolutely free gift. Baptism brings together in symbolic grandeur three wonderful gifts. One, the precious blood of Christ. Two, the water of regeneration. Three, the Holy Spirit. Everything in this magnificent picture is absolutely free. There is no way to pay for it. It cannot be earned. Christ generously offered his body and blood in the supreme sacrifice. This offering is great enough to cover the sins of all mankind. Staggering as it may seem, all of your sins may be washed away in the blood of Christ. Hebrews 10:10, Revelation 1:5. Christ commands you. Baptism is an essential doorway in the corridor to salvation. Jesus himself has set the pattern. His followers baptized even more people than did John the Baptist. John 4:1. Later, after his resurrection, he pointedly commanded his disciples to preach the gospel worldwide and baptize all believers. Matthew 28:19, Mark 16:16. On the day that the New Testament Christian church was established, conscience-stricken converts implored the apostles to tell what must be done to get right with God. On the authority of Christ, Peter gave an immediate, decisive, conclusive, but simple answer, repent and be baptized. Acts 2:38. 3,000 were baptized that day. Philip continued the same practice. Acts 8. Paul, much later, carried right on without deviation from the established example. Romans 6, verses 3 through 5, Colossians 2:12. Ever since that fateful day, God's ministers have held to exactly the same ceremony. No one ever has been given authority to change any part of the procedure. For any man or group of men to introduce any change is totally unwarranted. There has been no scriptural change whatsoever. We should still be practicing the very same rite in the very same way for the very same reason on the very same kind of people today. Nonetheless, men have introduced human ideas, human changes. Sprinkle or splash. God could have inspired another word than the Greek baptizo to be used in discussing this important topic if he had not wished to perfectly picture the threefold meaning of washing, burial, and resurrection. Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. For example, the words ekgeo, proscheo, and katecheo all come from the root cheo, which means to pour out. They are used in such scriptures as John 2:15, Acts 2:17 and 18, Revelation 16:1 through 4. Hebrews 11:28, Matthew 26:7 and Mark 14:3, in reference to pouring out money, the Holy Spirit, vials of wrath, a box of ointment, or sprinkling the blood of sacrifice. Some churches pour or splash water at their baptisms, erroneously thinking this is what God means when he says baptizo. Another word, rantizo, is used in Hebrews 9, verses 13, 19, 21, Hebrews 10:22, Hebrews 12:24, and 1 Peter 1:2, where it means, as it always does, to sprinkle. Some churches sprinkle, rantizo, thinking they are baptizing, baptizo. The words just do not say the same thing. They are entirely different. God inspired the Greek word baptizo to be used in every case when his scripture deals with baptism. This word is never translated by the English word sprinkle. It does mean to wash or bathe, but by dipping, submerging, immersing. It is used as a figure of speech to indicate being overwhelmed. It is used classically when speaking of people swimming and a ship sinking. You can't swim in the outpouring of a handful of water. A ship can't sink in a splash. A body can't be buried in the sprinkling of anything, water or dirt. Baptism simply has no connection with sprinkling or pouring. Other words are used for those meanings. The picture. Baptism pictures the complete covering of a dead body by placing it in a watery grave. But there is much more to the picture. Even as the old dead body of the convert is entombed in baptism, it is being literally washed, cleansed. This complete washing of the exterior symbolizes the internal, mental, moral washing and regeneration of the mind, a readying for an altogether new man to be resurrected to an altogether new life. To adequately capture and portray this simple yet complex picture, John the Baptist went to Aenon to baptize because there was much water there, John 3:23. When Jesus was baptized, we are expressly told that he went up out of the water, Matthew 3:16. He had been down in it. Read Matthew 3:13 through 17, putting immersed where the word baptized occurs. For we have already seen that is exactly what the original language means, and it all becomes very clear. For an additional and clinching illustration, notice that Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch both went down into and came up out of the water in order to properly accomplish the baptism. Acts 8:38 through 40. Into the family. Some people are mixed up about the simple, straightforward instructions of Christ in Matthew 28:19. The phrase, "In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit," gives them trouble. Don't allow the little word "in" to confuse you as it does them. The Greek word is a bit more distinct and should better have been translated "into." Christ is simply stating that baptism places the convert in or into the family name of God. Remember, Peter has told us those who repent and are baptized will receive the Spirit of God, Acts 2:38. Those led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. The receipt of the Holy Spirit makes a converted person part of the family of God. We are the children of God, joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8:16 and 17. Christ is not ashamed to call us brethren, Hebrews 2:11. These words depict a family relationship. We are made a part of the family of God. It is natural then that we are to have the name of God. We are baptized into the very same name. It is also a title which describes the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The name is God. One name fits the entire family. Having this one name does not at all detract from the wonderful name of Jesus. When we have God's Spirit, we are His and Christ is in us, Romans 8, 9 and 10. We now have the same mind and we think like He does, Philippians 2, verses 2 and 5. Christ lives in us, Galatians 2:20. We now begin to live like the rest of the family of God, for we have been placed in, put into, it, in whose name. Jesus built his church and set up an organized ministry to run it, Ephesians 4:11 through 13. His chosen ones act in his stead. What they do is as if it had been done personally by the Christ, John 13:20. He impressed this fact firmly insofar as baptism is concerned. Jesus did not baptize. He had his disciples do it for him. That is, in or by his authority, John 4:2. They acted in his stead or in his name. No baptism is legal except to be done by the authority of Jesus Christ, in his name. Spiritual counsel. Christ has given this responsibility to his ministry. Not all who think themselves ready for baptism are. It demands mature, profound evaluation. It must not be taken lightly. It's not for children. John the Baptist sent many of the Pharisees of his day a-packing when they presented themselves to him. He unabashedly advised them to go do the things which would prove to him they were actually ready, Luke 3, 7 and 8. Seriously consider, even if you have already been baptized, that it may not be valid. Such has happened to others. Simon Magus believed the message the deacon Philip preached, but his subsequent baptism proved to be a dunking only. When the more discerning Peter and John surveyed the situation, they summarily refused to lay hands on the unrepentant Simon, Acts 8, verses 13 and 21 through 23. But note that the now more experienced Philip correctly decided the Ethiopian eunuch was ready for baptism, Acts 8, verses 36 and 37. Just so, Ananias told Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, that it was now time for him to be baptized, Acts 22, 16. God's ministers have spiritual discernment, 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 12:10. They are qualified to determine whether or not the convert is truly repentant and ready to be baptized. More than likely, there is a true minister of God living near you who would be more than happy to help you evaluate your spiritual condition. He can help you to better understand yourself and what God expects of you. If you want his valuable counsel, write immediately and tell us. We will place you in contact just as soon as we possibly can. What Are You Waiting For? By John R. Schroeder. What are you waiting for? Said Ananias to Saul. Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away. Acts 22:16, NIV. Now, why would a Christian layman in the first century say a thing like that to Saul of Tarsus? Only 3 days before, Saul had been struck down by Jesus of Nazareth on his way to Damascus to torture Christians. He had spent the 3 days totally unseeing, blinded by the brightness of Christ's appearance. That unprecedented experience began the transformation of Saul from a self-righteous religionist into perhaps the greatest Christian of his time. Saul's future life work was outlined rather immediately after his total about-face. But before he could become Paul, or even begin to commence to fulfill his Christ-given commission, Jesus inducted him into God's work through the deeply symbolic ceremony of baptism. While Ananias was the Christ-sent human instrument to put the old Saul to death by dunking him underwater, it was Jesus himself who gave Paul God's Holy Spirit. But why would such a ceremony be necessary? Would not Paul's obvious repentance be sufficient? Why go to the trouble of being plunged underwater, possibly fully clothed? How could the baptismal ceremony wash Paul's sins away? To begin to give an answer to these questions, it is necessary to understand that the cleansing concept of baptism is richly rooted in the pages of the Old Testament. Old Testament antecedents. Water baptism is prefigured by a number of graphic accounts in the First Testament. Perhaps the most poignant example is the symbolic baptism of all of ancient Israel in the Red Sea, leaving the old corrupt Egyptian way of life and emerging into the prospect of living their lives anew through the vehicle of the freshly revealed righteousness of God's law. The Apostle Paul really grasped the Old Testament role of baptism and was deeply desirous of teaching its meaning to the Corinthian church. He wrote, "I want you to know, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea." 1 Corinthians 10:1-2, RSV. Noah's flood was also a type of New Testament baptism. Peter wrote, 8 souls were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:20-21. Naaman, chief general of the Syrian army, was afflicted by leprosy in the time of Elisha. He approached God's prophet to solicit total recovery. Elisha's instructions were, go and wash into River Jordan 7 times. That seemed silly to this dignified, perhaps even pompous, general of the army. Naaman just didn't want to do it according to Elisha's explicit directions. His reply was, are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. 2 Kings 5:12, RSV. His aides later persuaded Naaman to cool off and put aside his vanity. He followed Elisha's seeming stupid instructions and was totally healed of a terminal skin condition. But these accounts in the Old Testament were only a type of the New Testament spiritual cleansing that finds its fulfillment in Christ. These pre-Christian antecedents could not really cleanse sinners of spiritual defilement and make them eligible candidates for God's kingdom. Jeremiah put his finger on the problem. Though you wash yourself with lye, a harsh cleansing agent, and use much soap and water, the stain of your guilt is still before me. Jeremiah 2:22, RSV. The Apostle Paul puts the Old Testament ceremonial washings into even sharper focus. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered which cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper, but deal only with food and drink and various ablutions or washings. Regulations for the body imposed until the time of Reformation, Christ's blood sacrifice on the cross. Hebrews 9:9-10, RSV. They could only be a sign. They could never really cleanse the mind itself. Jesus Christ did what all the offerings, sacrifices, and ceremonial washings combined could not do. The shedding of his life's blood broke the barrier between God and man forever. Man's repentance, followed by Christ's ministration to man of the Holy Spirit, then actually changes the mind. However, all of those Old Testament washings did symbolically prefigure important New Testament principles, not the least of which is water baptism, the baptismal bridge. John the Baptist built a bridge between Old Testament ritualism and Christ. His baptism paved the way for Christ's baptism of the Holy Spirit. It added more clarity to the picture of God's plan of salvation. John recognized that the proper mental approach, repentance, must precede baptism. He sharply rebuked the religious types of his day, saying, bear fruit that befits repentance. Matthew 3:8, RSV. John would have no part of baptizing those whose attitudes were wedded to sin. Later, he told those who were really willing to repent of their sins, I baptize you with water for repentance, But he, Christ, who is coming after me, is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Verse 11, RSV. John the Baptist also set as an example the Christian ceremonial form of total immersion in water. John also was baptizing in Aenon near to Salem because there was much water there. John 3:23. Important New Testament symbolism. Of course, total immersion of and by itself is no more effective, spiritually speaking, than scrupulously washing a bunch of pots and pans. Water has no mystical or magical effects on the person immersed. But the symbolism is so profound that the candidate must demonstrate his repentance and faith by literally observing the baptismal ritual. So much is this true that even after the Gentile Cornelius and his household had received the Holy Spirit before water baptism, a very rare exception to normal procedure, the Apostle Peter said to them, "Can anyone forbid water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 10:47-48, RSV. The simple rite of water baptism is meant to mark a miraculous change in a repentant sinner. It is an embarking on a new, clean, right way of life that will end up in great reward and happiness. Its symbolism is meant to instill a permanent change of direction with spiritual cleansing throughout the remainder of one's natural life. Once you are truly baptized, there is no longer need for further physical rites as previously required in the elaborate ritualistic system of the Old Testament. From then on, when you stumble in sin, Christ cleanses you symbolically with His blood, 1 John 1:7-9, and with the washing of water by the Word, Ephesians 5:26. Through continual repentance, prayer, and habitual Bible study for the purpose of personal correction, the true Christian moves steadily in the direction of a perfection which was not possible through repeated physical ablutions and washings. No reason for delay. No matter who you are, once you have really repented, there is no longer any reason to delay water baptism. 6 months probation or some such other stipulation is not required. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away.